Hello, 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 and welcome to A Rich Life Podcast, where we enrich, encourage, and inspire you to live a life of your dreams. I am your host, Alicia Richard. I am extremely excited about today's guest. I get to chat with Elise Roberts. But before we hop into the interview, I would like to give you all a brief introduction. Elise has been working in TV news for more than 15 years. She began her journey in her hometown, Atlanta, Georgia, as an eager intern looking to soak up as much as she could. Today, she works as a producer for CNN's HLN. Before taking on her latest role, Elise worked as an executive producer and anchor in Montgomery, Alabama. Prior to that, she spent 5 years in North Carolina as an anchor reporter for a 24-hour cable news network. She got her feet wet in the news business at some of Atlanta's top news stations and MTV networks, beating out hundreds of candidates for highly converted internships. It's there, Elise says, she gained her momentum to launch her career in journalism. She loves telling stories of everyday heroes and giving a voice to the voiceless. She has interviewed countless celebrities, including Oprah Winfrey, Michael Jordan, Nancy Peluso, Maya Angelou, Bill Cosby, and Kim Kardashian. Recently, Elise was featured as one of Atlanta's most talented in Voyage Atlanta. She has also been featured in Essence Magazine, The Everyday Girl, and Style Bistro. Elise has been recognized by the Associated Press, the NAACP, the Boys and Girls Club of the Gulf Coast, and a number of local and state organizations for her contributions to the community. Elise is an alumni of Kennesaw State University and Tulane University and is a native of Marietta, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta. I am so excited about today's interview. I am sure that from Elise, you all will learn so much. So I would like to say thank you so much, Elise, for joining us and having a conversation with the A Rich Life podcast. And I'm sure that we all will learn so much from her. So here you go, my conversation with Elise Roberts. All right. So first, Elise, I would like to say thank you so much for agreeing to be on the A Rich Life podcast, girl. Like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. I'm super excited to chat.
Yes, ma'am. So just tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Elise Roberts, and I work in TV news. I've been working in TV news for about 15 years now, believe it or not. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, originally from Atlanta, Georgia. I know there's not a lot of people these days from Atlanta, but I was born here, raised in the suburb of Marietta, born downtown, and went to school at Kennesaw State University, picked up another degree at Tulane University a little bit later. But yeah, TV news is what I do, mostly on air, but for the past almost 2.5 years now, been off air as a producer at CNN sister station HLN.
Got it. That is really, really good. So, like, what made you want to become a reporter?
So I wanted to, as a young girl, be a news lady, as far as I knew, because my family was always very tuned in and plugged into what was going on. It was like the ritual. And maybe that was the case for a lot of families, but I can remember my grandparents reading the newspaper cover to cover every day. They still do. I remember my great-great grandmother making sure the news was turned on to Monica Kaufman. She was an anchor here for a long, long, long time, recently retired. And I remember watching her in particular and seeing this poised, beautiful Black woman who, I mean, when I say Black, same complexion as me, delivering the news in such an eloquent way. I mean, and it stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And I knew from, I'd say, first or second grade, that this is what I wanted to do and what I wanted to be.
Oh, wow. That is really, really good. That is really good. So, what has your experience been like just working for the news and being on television? Like, what has that been for you?
There have been highs and lows. For me, getting my start didn't come easy. I had several internships. One of my mentors calls me the internship queen because I interned everywhere here in Atlanta. I interned at MTV, radio and TV because I wanted to make sure I was prepared. I was in college on a scholarship, so seemingly should be easy enough to get a job, right? Well, when I graduated, it wasn't that easy for me for one of two reasons. A, it just wasn't my time. B, I had a small area of where I wanted to work, and I wanted to stay close to my family. I don't regret much in life, but that's one of the things that I do regret. I wish I had have broadened my horizons and not stayed in the Southeast. And it's never too late for that. But just starting out, I wish I hadn't have had so many parameters on my life. And that's what I tell my mentees now. Don't limit yourself. They're all, they're plane, trains, and automobiles. You can get to your family when you need to get to your family. But while you're young and you have no responsibilities, go as far away as you can. So, with that limiting myself, it took me a little bit longer to find a job. It took me 8 months to find a job. So, in the meantime, I worked at the credit union. That was the only other job I had, which taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about money, it taught me a lot about business. Being to work on time, looking professional, sounding professional. So I don't even regret that. So for 8 months, that's what I did. And when I would leave the credit union, I would go and make tapes. My last internship allowed me to keep going there to make copies of my tapes, even though I had graduated because I had a good relationship with them. So I would go make copies and then I'd go to the post office. And I did that 3 or 4 days a week. And I finally landed my first job about 1 hour and 15 minutes away from Atlanta, which is exactly what I wanted.
Oh, wow. That is really, really good. So I've been doing a little research on you, and I saw that you and I saw that you've interviewed like some major celebrities. Can you tell us just a little bit about that?
TV affords you the opportunity to be in crazy places and meet all kinds of people. And I'm one of those people who it's just the sky's the limit. So if I hear Oprah's coming in town, it's like, oh, well, let me go interview Oprah. Like it's just that easy. And the cards were in my favor. I met her once because of my mentor. And then through that connection, I was able to set up an interview with her later in life. She's one of my favorite people, obviously. I've interviewed Kim Kardashian exclusively. And when I say interviewed, I mean not with a whole bunch of other reporters. This is just me and that person. Kim Kardashian, I've interviewed Bill Cosby, I've interviewed Michael Jordan. Interviewed Nancy Pelosi, who was very nice. I love her. Interviewed Nancy Grace, actually twice. She was great. Not as mean as you would think. That was her persona when she was on HLN those years ago, but very nice woman. I know I'm forgetting some big names. People love to hear about the Kim Kardashian story for whatever reason, but yeah, I love that I've had the opportunity to talk to a bunch of different celebrities, some of them nice, some of them not so nice. I was the last person to do an on-air interview with Maya Angelou before she passed away. So yeah, I've had some good opportunities there.
So that is really good. So, like, of all the interviews with like all of the celebrities that you've interviewed thus far, what's the common thread that you've learned from them when it comes to success?
Oh, that's a great question. Like, all the, wait a minute now. You stumping the inner. I'm used to asking the questions here.
That's
The
okay,
common thread.
but yeah, like just what have you learned from like just all of them that you could tell our audience that even though you've met like so many people and you've been able to be in the presence of like some of the biggest names, like what is just one thing that you've learned kind of just from all of them?
Not to have boundaries when it comes to getting what you want. And, some people can see that as a little bit of arrogance. I see it as confidence. I walk in a room and own the room. You know, if your goal is to own the bank, own the bank, mm-hmm. own all the banks. Don't let anyone else stop you from doing what you want to do or getting that interview or getting that job. Just don't think with limitations. And I think that's how they move. And a lot of them probably didn't move that way early on. Maybe they did, but I think successful people, and success is measured by different, you know, people measure their success in different ways, but I think they move with an air of, I got this every single day, even when you don't feel like you have it. And that's how I move in life. Like, it's already done.
Mm. Oh yeah. That is really good. That is really good. So like, as an African-American reporter and a producer, people would always look at you and say, wow, like, how did she do this? Like, what have been some of the things that just really have just kept you going? Like, what have some of the things that you've done to just keep you on track?
You know, it's twofold. I think hearing no fuels me. I heard no early on. My first job wasn't as a reporter. My first job was as a news assistant. I didn't even know what that was, but I was basically just doing whatever they needed me to do. And I took that job making no money, because I was moving in the spirit of they'll see. And within 3 months they did. I had a whole new job in 3 months. Within a year I was on TV. So, I think hearing no, you know, I wasn't thin, petite, blonde, white, and that was, you know, a factor, I believe, in TV at the time. I think it's still a factor sometimes when it comes to getting to certain levels in this business. It's very cosmetic. And so, you know, you have to be better than, but I think that's in any industry as a Black woman. I think that we carry the smarts and we carry the drive and, you know, we get it done. We just do. We're born with that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we're held back because of what we look like. And it's very unfortunate. But when your work is all up in people's faces and it's good work, it's great work, they can't help but to tell you yes. So, you know, that partly fueled me. And then my belief in God and prayer, I think is what keeps me going every single day, even the days when it's just like, I just rather go back and work at the bank. You know, sometimes some days it's like, oh, it's so much easier to just go work a 9 to 5 and have the holidays with my family and not have to be away from my family and have a social life and a personal life. Some days I want to do that, but I know that that's not what God has for me. And I've tried, you know, I quit TV for all of 6 months. It lasted all of 6 months. And by a month in, I was actually ready to go back, but I quit. And I tried to stay in the shadows because I just wanted a quote unquote normal life. I wanted a good job that paid me decent money and I can go home at the end of the day and not be bothered with the world. And, God gave me the spotlight back. Mm-hmm. And I, no matter, you know, what you try to run from, what is for you is going to be for you. Like, our destiny has already been defined. It's already been written.
Oh man, that is so good. And you literally like almost answered one of my questions about spirituality.
Oh yeah,
because a lot of people overlook that step and they just look at, you know, career, but then they don't think about, you know, the prayers that you had to lift up, you know, the times where you had to sacrifice so much. Like, I'm glad that you talked about that.
They always look at the highlight reel. They always do. And I'm, you know, try to be transparent as I can, you know, with people on social. You know, I share a lot, but there's a lot I don't share. But I do try to be transparent about the struggle. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm here now. And yeah, you know, life is nice now. But I lived in a bunch of places I didn't want to live. I was making no money my first couple of jobs. I mean, like, my first job, I made $18,000 a year on TV. So you have this seemingly glamorous job. And mind you, my mentor who started 10 years before me was making $17,000. So it doesn't change. It doesn't change. They pay you pennies because they want to separate the people who really want this from the people who really just want to be on TV. So you're walking around and you're expected to look nice and sound nice and you can barely pay your bills. And I was fortunate enough to have, you know, family who looked out and friends who looked out for me until I was able. And now I'm able to give back. But that's what people don't see, the sacrifices that I made, that I still make. I'm in Atlanta now. I'm from here. But for over a decade, I was away from my family. So holidays and you know, Thanksgiving, which is a ratings period, you can't take off in TV. So if I live in Timbuktu, I'm spending Thanksgiving in Timbuktu. And you need family to kind of fuel you and fill your spirit. And so a lot of times you're just left to figure that out on your own. And that's where my faith played a big, big, big part. Because a lot of days, and still to this day, it's me and God. That's it.
That's really good.
That's the constant in my life. It's me and God at the end of the day.
Oh, man. I am so glad that you said that because people just miss that piece and just overlook it so many times. And I'm glad that you say how that has really been like a major role just in your life. I know that you were talking about like mentors and, you know, your coaches. Mm-hmm. And that's actually one of my questions. A lot of times on the podcast, we are talking about how important it is to surround yourself with positive people, such as a mentor and a coach. So can you just tell us like how has that impacted your life?
You know, I have a couple mentors. I have mentors who don't know they're my mentors. Like, for example, you know, Oprah's a mentor of mine. She's a mentor for a lot of people. There are people who just move about. Ava DuVernay, she's another one who I look to. There's a lot of people who I don't have direct contact with who I would consider a mentor because I follow their career. I'm not trying to emulate them, but I follow their career. I've read about their story. I listen to them speak. I've been to conferences where they speak. I read their books and they mentor me. But then I have mentors who I have reached out to, who I've met, and who guide me in my career path. And it's not just career for me. I also have a spiritual mentor and I also have someone who I talk to about finances. So I have people who can help me in different areas of my life because one may be stronger than the other in a particular area. So I think that's really, really important because listen, we only got one chance at this thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't encourage anybody to try to figure it out on their own, or you're going to make life a whole lot harder than it already is. So if you can tap into people who are going to pour into you and have your best interest at heart, then absolutely, absolutely have those people around you.
Oh, yeah. And I love it that you mentioned how, you know, that you have mentors that don't even know you. That is so good because a lot of times on social media, we overlook, you know, that they are right at our fingertips and
absolutely,
we just overlook them. So tell us just a little bit about how you said when you kind of just reached out to some people, like if someone that is listening wants to know, well, how can I, you know, reach out to a person? Like, tell us what you've done to reach out to them and say, hey, can you be my mentor?
You know, these people I've had a relationship with, like one person in particular, I worked alongside with him. He's much older than me. And it wasn't like a formal, you know, check this box if you'd like to be my mentor. Mm-hmm. But it was just, you know, constant conversations and advice. And then when I was ready to move on or do certain things, I would ask, you know, do you mind if I, you know, take you to lunch? You know, you have a couple minutes or whatever. I like to borrow some of your time. And then we just chat about whatever it is that I'm dealing with. And they just became a mentor of mine. My very first mentor I was actually paired up with, like, this is going to be your mentor. It was in high school. And everybody put their name in a hat and pulled a mentor out. Well, she wasn't able to make it to that meeting and neither was I. So we were paired up. And because I'm God's girl, God paired me up with a woman who worked in TV news. Oh, we just happened to end up together. So when we had our first official meeting, the first thing she asked me was, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I told her, and she was like, well, guess what I do? And she happened to work at one of the Atlanta stations as a producer. We now work side by side. So, you know, it's such a blessing. Like, she's been the biggest blessing in my life because her career has just, you know, been awesome, and it's helped blossom my career. And then having those people in TV who, you know, have now, a lot of them have now retired, who still like pour into me. And when I'm having my doubts, and when I'm wanting to be like, I'm done with it, or when I'm thinking about what's next, you know, do I want to retire doing this? Not necessarily. So I'm at the point in my life now where I'm thinking about, what does this look like for me next? And it's great to have those people who have branched off and done other things, have businesses that I can talk to about those things.
That is really good. That is really good. So as you are on your journey, like, tell us about the sacrifices that you have had to make, because a lot of us are like, you know, I don't want to lose anything while I'm on my journey to success. So What is some of the things that you've had to give up to help you become who you are now? Was it like a friendship or a relationship or a change in the location? Like, just tell our audience how sometimes you do have to sacrifice something to get better.
You know, I've had great friendships, but I've only had a couple friends who have been with me through each and every move. So, you know, people I grew up with, or people I was really, really close to, who I thought would be my friend until the end of time, they fell by the wayside because I couldn't attend, you know, important events for them sometimes, or hang out and kick it at all hours of the night because I have to be at work at 1 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I sacrifice friendships. I sacrificed my dating life, I think, because being not able to just hang out and do stuff. And it does. It makes it harder for your social life. You know, and I can't put that all on my career. I take some responsibility for that because I poured more into my career because I knew I wanted to be at this point by this age, making this amount of money.
Wow.
And so, you know, now that, you know, I'm getting older, I'm starting to think about pouring more into my personal life and my friendships and my family, because I wasn't able to do that. So, yeah, I missed a lot of birthdays. I missed a lot of weddings. I missed a lot of things that I can't ever get back. And would I say it's worth it? Not necessarily. I can't answer that definitively, because there are a lot of things that I wish I hadn't have missed out on, because, you know, at the end of the day, the business that I'm in, any business that you're in, is going to keep moving with or without you. So, you know, hold those people who are close to you, keep them close, and, you know, pour into them in a way that you need people to pour into you. It definitely doesn't come without sacrifice.
Oh yeah, that is really good. And me as a photographer, you know, I could relate when, you know, a lot of times we're working on the holidays sometimes, or, you know, a lot of times during wedding season and you go out in weddings. So we do miss a lot of like family events and things that are going on that are, I know I miss a lot of things that are already scheduled. And then, you know, somebody's like, well, we have a birthday party. And I'm like, well, I can't go because I got to work, you know?
Yeah.
So you do sacrifice a lot of family time and relationship time too. So that is very, very true. And that moves me into like our next question. Like, tell our audience about how you were able to like overcome the fear. Because I know a lot of times you may have said, well, I'm going to step into this. But was there ever a time you was just scared about, you know, just really being on the news networks? Like, tell us about fear.
I've never dealt with fear in that capacity. I haven't. I've always been someone who thinks, if I want it, I'm going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out along the way. And that's what motivates me. I've always had this mantra, faith over fear. Like, you gotta pick one. You can't choose both. I told friends and family that. I had to last year tell a friend who's on her deathbed that, who's since passed away. Like, listen, we can't do both. You gotta pick one. You can't say who you believe in and what you believe in and still be afraid. You know, no matter what you believe in, for me, I believe in God. And me believing in God and taking my problems and my burdens to Him, and then continuing to worry about them, tells him that I don't trust you. I know I brought this to you, but I don't trust you to handle this for me. So I'm going to continue to worry about it. No, I got to pick one. And over and over and over again, I'll always choose my faith over my fear.
Girl,
always.
Girl, you are bringing chills to my body. Yes. Hallelujah. Like, that is so good. Like, faith over fear is everything. Oh, I love that. I love that. So a lot in the podcast, we talk about like how success is hidden in your daily routines. So tell us a little bit about what you do throughout the day that helps you to move the needle, rather, you know, it's prayer or meditation or, you know, making sure that you connect with your family. Like, what are some of the things that help you throughout the day to get to your long-term goals?
So I'm super type A, which is my biggest character strength. It's my greatest character flaw because it can be nerve-wracking to some people. I don't like to be in a rush. I don't like last minute things. And, you know, I have a couple friends and people in my life who are kind of like fly by night. I'll see, or let's make it happen. Or, hey, what are you doing today? Let's go here. And I just don't operate that way. And I do that for my sanity because I do struggle with anxiety a little bit. I am a planner. I am a super planner. So I wake up early. Anyway, because I like to mill around the house. I don't like to be like, oh my gosh, I overslept. Now I got to rush. Now I got to fight traffic. Now my whole day is thrown off. So when I get up, I try to read something that's going to feed my spirit. So I have a couple books by my bedside, with like little daily devotionals. And lately, I've been trying to meditate. I'm not that great at it. I told you this, that I'm struggling. But I think I started out with this big goal of like, I just want 20 minutes to sit there and just be still. And my mind starts going in a million different places and my checklist and all my type A stuff. So I've dwindled that down to a couple minutes because I believe that prayer is talking to God. Meditation is listening to God. So I really need to get still. And that's one of the things that I'm working on incorporating into my day. I haven't started every day yet, but a couple times a week. That's where I am. So y'all, baby steps, like work with me. Right. So yeah, that's big for me. And then I keep a planner. I put everything in my phone as well. So it's I have, you know, different checks and balances for myself. I make sure that I have some still time. You know, I was talking to my best friend a couple days ago about this, that, you know, she too has a really demanding career. And life just starts to just beat up on you, it feels like. And I said, it's because you're just going and you're not making any you time. And so for me, you time looks like on my day off, I sit outside, I leave my phone in the house and I have some tea. And it's me and the trees and the birds. And sometimes it's 10 minutes, sometimes it's 20 minutes, sometimes it's 2 minutes, but that's my time. That's my time where there's no noise. There's just a stillness. And it's important for me to leave that phone for a second because my life is on my phone. I'm constantly checking emails. I'm constantly on social media, and that keeps, that stuff is in your head. And I even like am careful about now who I follow on social media. Because if it fuels me with the spirit of messiness or even envy. Sometimes we can, you know, follow people on social media and start to be envious of their life. If, and that has everything to do with you, not necessarily that person, but for right now, you need to unfollow that person because that's not good for your energy and your spirit. So I've even changed the way I follow people, how I interact with people on social media, you know, the group chats and things like that. If it's not like positivity, I just don't, I'm not interested. I'm not interested because I'm trying not to fuel my mind with negative stuff. Listen, I work in TV, so I see unedited video of bodies and trauma and horrible things every single day. So I need every ounce of positivity that I can get. And sometimes I need some mindfulness too, like mindlessness, like just crazy stuff that I can just laugh at or whatever. So I follow, you know, people like that who are going to just make me laugh. Right. on social media too, but for me, it's just like taking time out of your day to be still, and do what works for you. I used to think getting my nails and my toes done was my me time, but that's not my me time. I'm meeting a lot of people. That's a part of my routine. Like, I can't have raggedy nails going in and shaking people's hands and, you know, things like that. So it became a part of my need. I need to get this done. I need to have my hair done. I need to have my nails done. But then there was no me time. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's, I love to read. So I'm always reading something, and I'm always looking for book suggestions. If you ask anybody who knows me, I'm always like, what are you reading? And I have this running list because I try to read at least a book a month, and so I'll sit outside and I'll read. I love to sit outside or just sit in my bed or whatever the case is. I'm trying to use my house, so lately I've been sitting in rooms that I don't go in and just spending time in there being quiet and being still.
Oh man, that is so good. You said so much that really just, oh man, so many times people just overlook just outside. Like, we're so busy in our phones and we never connect with nature. We never see the sun. And that is so important that you just set time aside to put your phone down and really mm-hmm. just focus on the day where you are yeah. and then how you could just breathe in the fresh air that God has given. So that is so good.
Wow. So, around the neighborhood. Like, yeah. And then one thing, my doctor did tell me I was vitamin D deficient, so I had to get outside more too, so that helped. I was like, what? She was like, yeah, you need to get some more vitamin D. So I live in this massive neighborhood, and I'd drive in my neighborhood, pull in the garage, and that's it. Now it's like, I just walk around the neighborhood, mm-hmm. walk down a different street sometimes. I don't do it every day, but I try to switch it up right. a little bit so that I don't get in a routine, but just get outside and just do something. And then there's this woman I follow on Instagram, and it's going to sound crazy, but I've come to love it. I started to follow her because of, I'm into decor and things like that. And I follow her for that reason. But then I started to watch her Insta stories, and she cooks. And when she cooks really slowly, and she moves. And at first I was like, why is she moving so darn slow? Like, get it done. And now it's become therapeutic. And on top of that, she listens to meditation music when she cooks. So it's like birds chirping and things like that. And I thought it was the weirdest thing the first two times. Guess who listens to meditation and birds chirping while she cooks now? Me in the kitchen listening to the Blue Jays while she's chopping up onions every day. It is the most soothing thing while I'm cleaning, while I'm cooking, because it makes you slow down. Mm. And it helps with, like, not having this noise in your brain, because mm-hmm. when there's music playing, I'm singing, I'm rapping along. Some days I'm trapping, some days I'm listening to blues music, right. Some days I'm listening. But now when I listen to the meditation music, and it just, I don't know, I'm just so much more aware. So I had to inbox her and let her know. Oh. And apparently I'm not the only one. People all over the place are doing this now. I'm like, what in the world? That this is a black so woman cool. listening what? To the birds. Yes. I love it.
That is really, really good. I love that. So now I'm gonna have to slow down, because girl, I'm like you, girl. I'll be rapping sometimes. Right? Like, yes. 20 minutes.
You know, you probably got kids coming home, and you know, she has. Listen, she's pregnant with her fifth child.
Oh my
so
gosh.
Anybody who needs to be rushing, she is 40 years old, pregnant with her fifth child, and when I tell you, home is immaculate. I mean, she vacuums, and while she's vacuuming, you hear the birds chirping. I'm like, what in the world? But it works. It works.
Can you tell us who she is so I could go and follow her? Like,
yes, let me make sure. Her name is, I think it's Kiki Cameron. Let me make sure I'm not sending y'all to someone crazy. Yes, Kiki Cameron, KEKECAMERON. She has like 70,000 followers. Really, really chill. Just good energy. And I mean, she's lighting candles and she's just zoned out, walking around. She hasn't posted today, I don't think. I'm like, because she's due at any minute. She is 9 months pregnant, vacuuming floors, cleaning baseboards, listening to the birds chirping.
With five kids. Sweet Jesus.
With five kids. I was like, now she can slow down, I can slow down.
Right. Oh, man, yes. That is really good. Oh, wow. That is good. I'm going to make sure that I follow her. I'm
going to follow her. Yes.
Yes.
You'll enjoy it.
Oh man. So I do have a question though, because you said that you are a planner, and I know that like I'm a planner fanatic and I always have like stickers and stuff to go on my planner.
Me too. So you have washi tape and all that stuff too?
Yes.
Yes. I'm such a geek. I am a geek at heart. I am.
So can you tell us like what your favorite planner is, if you have one?
Yes, I use the Erin Condren planner.
Oh, okay, I use hers too. Oh, I love hers.
I tried to steer away. I started using her about 4 years ago.
Yes.
And, you know, it could get a little pricey. And so I remember 2 years ago, I was like, I'm not paying that money for a planner. It's just notes and paper. And I tried to, like, go get one out of Target. And, you know, to each his own.
Right.
But there's so much in there. There are pockets and quotes and all that stuff. And it comes with stickers. And I found myself trying to like make that in my little bootleg planner that I bought. So I went back to Erin and I've been stuck with her for the past couple of years. So what I like. But if you're new at planning, if you're like, I need to get more organized, then just go into a Target or Walmart or get the 365 planner. I think you can get those from like Hobby Lobbies or craft stores. Anything like that, just to write it down, hold yourself accountable. And if you flip over my planner, it has everything from bills I need to pay to quotes across the top of the page that I've highlighted and all kinds of stuff, or books that people have told me about, you know, all kinds of things. And it's a good reference point for me too. So it's always in my bag, but I encourage people, like, you know, some people are all about digital. I put things in my phone as well, but I get really detailed in my planner. And sometimes when I'm outside, that's one of the things that I'll do just to get it off my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take my planner out, because once I write it down, it's like, okay, it's done. I'll refer back to that tomorrow or the next day or when I need to. So let me write it down and be done with it. So that's some good still time too, to like get your stickers and your washi tape, and you know, it's therapeutic. You know, you spread out on the table.
Right.
And that's my thing. Listen, if I gotta pay these bills, let's at least make them pretty.
That's right. Oh my gosh, that is so cool. I do the same thing, like low key. And I was with you too, because I was like, well, I wonder if there's someone like another planner that I could use, but the Erin Condren planners are really just so helpful, especially the ones where you could do like hour by hour. I love those.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so I really do. I was looking to leave, but like you, I'm just like, all right, well, I might as well go ahead for next year.
I know. They're so good. I mean, she has a great formula. And the fact that, like, on my first one, I did, like, a collage of, you know how you can, like, customize it?
Mm-hmm.
So on my very first planner, I did a collage. It had, like, baby pictures of me. It had Bible verses, because she allows you to select your own pictures. And then, like, so it wouldn't go to waste. I still use that cover sometimes.
Oh, that's
good. So, yeah, you can take the cover off and put it on to the next year. I have a new one for this year, but I'll refer back to that old calendar.
Yeah.
I mean, the old cover, I'm sorry, to use on new calendars. So I love that she lets you customize things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's great. This is not an ad, but we like Erin Condren.
Right, we do.
Yes.
That is so true. I know that you said that you liked a lot of books. So tell us, like, at least one of the books that are your favorite, because I know you probably have many, but what's one of your favorite books that you like to read?
Well, so I don't reread books often. That's my thing. I don't reread books. So the one that I do reread is The Alchemist. I read it at different points in my life, and I get different nuggets from it every time I read it. So I would encourage everyone, if you have not read The Alchemist, I need you to stop what you're doing and order it off Amazon. If you haven't read it in a while, go back and read it again, because at different places in your life, it'll speak to you in different ways. It's such a great book. I'm reading, what else am I reading right now? I'm reading this leadership book about, from this woman named Amy Henry right now. And it's about a woman's guide to business. So I'm currently reading that. I have a couple more on my list for the rest of the year that I'm going to try to get to. I have a couple trips planned, so I like to read on the plane. But yeah, there's always a book in my bag. My bag is heavy because there's always my planner, mm-hmm. a book, my wallet, my makeup bag at all times. Those are my essentials. Always got to have a book because you never know when you're going to be like stuck, you know, at the salon or just waiting on someone. And I just pop out my book and start reading, get a chapter in how you can.
Right, girl. I am like that too. So my handbag is always heavy. So it's if somebody so pick it up, they'd be like, dang, what do you have in here?
I'm like, my stuff. And then I'll try to like downsize to a smaller bag, and it's just, it doesn't work. I'm like, who am I kidding? I need my tote because I need my stuff.
That's how I am too. Oh my gosh. And like sometimes I'm almost getting to the point where I carry like a small bag and then like a briefcase on the side with like my planner, and then I gotta have my book just in case something may happen. Like, but I always carry like a ton of stuff every single time. Cause like you said, you never know when you may get stuck in the line. So just hop out a book and read.
Hop in my book and my throat is parched. I have water in my bag. It's fine.
Right.
We're okay. I'm good.
I am there. I am there with you like all the way. Planner and all. Water bottle. Yes, boo. Yes.
The essentials. Listen, you just never know. I am prepared.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That is so good. So I do have a couple more questions about, I know like in your field, sometimes where you reference like in your career, you just like see so much and then you try to just unplug from social media. So just give our audience some encouraging words, like as they may be on their journey, whatever career path that they want to be on, just give us some encouraging words. I love it how you said you chose like faith over fear. So just like pour into us just a little bit from just your perspective.
Listen, I say wherever you are, whatever you want to do, wherever you're trying to go, do a little something, a minuscule, a little something every single day to get you closer to that. No days off, a little something. Whether it's following someone, reading an article, journaling about it, going to a conference. Listen, go to these conferences, invest in yourself, take these courses online, couple weeks, whatever is going to get you one step closer to getting to wherever you need to be. Reach out to that person who you met or who you saw online or, you know, on social media. Reach out. They may get back to you. They may not, but you never know until you try. So my biggest piece of advice would be to do something, a little something every single day to get you closer to your goal. And reevaluate your circle. Listen, I am not the smartest one in my circle. I have to clap for my friends all the time because they are always doing some big things. So if you are the only person in your circle making moves, you need to reevaluate your circle. It's not my place to say cut people off. I cut people off. But, you know, do what works for you, but definitely rework, reevaluate your circle. And pay attention for those who aren't clapping for you, and those who seem to delight in your struggle. It's very important. And sometimes that could be your significant other. It is not necessarily a homegirl. Sometimes your boo is not clapping for you and you need to reevaluate that. Sometimes your sister isn't clapping for you. Sometimes it's an aunt. I mean, it's unfortunate, but sometimes family and spouses, they are no exception. Because people don't necessarily want to see you win because they're not winning, or they want to be the only one winning. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's the case. You know, they're used to being at the top of the leaderboard and feel threatened when you're coming to the top of the leaderboard. So really pay attention to the people around you, what you feed them, what you tell them. Again, not saying to necessarily cut people off if that's hard for you. But I met a young woman whose mother was very envious of her. And I can go on and on about the dynamics between a Black mother and her daughter, which is a whole different conversation. But she in particular reached out to me and wanted to chat with me about that because she felt like her mother was jealous. I mean, it's hard to hear, but it's a very real thing. It's a very real thing. And she had to censor some of the things that she said to her mother because her mother would always, because it's her mother, she would always second guess herself because of her mother. So just be really careful about who you share your news with and when to share your news. Sometimes you have to keep things between you. Like I said, it's me and God talking at the end of the day on a lot of things before I announce it to the rest of the world, because that's my most constant cheerleader. He's my most constant supporter. So that's who I go to with my problems, with my concerns, with my celebrations. You know, I cry with him first. I laugh with him first because he's the most constant in my life. So believe in something and stick with that. I mean, that's my biggest piece of advice.
That was really good. That was really, really good. I love that. I love that. I love that. So last question, tell us how you are living a rich life.
I think, I don't know if I've already said it, but I, you know, just a life with no limitations is a rich life for me. A life that rich to me means being my authentic self, not apologizing for being who I am, whether that's the moody person that I can sometimes be, the loud person, the extreme introvert that I often am. But that's who I am. And so finally being at a place in my life where I don't have to apologize for who I am and how God made me is a full, rich life for me. So as long as I can continue to walk in my purpose and grow and learn and love on people, like in a way that, like, I am a celebrator of people. I love to love on people. And I haven't always been that way because I've been so tunnel vision for most of my, like, my 20s. I was very, like, focused, like, grind it out. And life is so short and it sneaks up on you. And, you know, you have to realize what's most important. So living a rich and full life to me is being able to walk in my purpose, helping others be able to walk in their purpose, being a better listener, being a better caregiver, being understanding of people, because you never know what demons people are battling when it's just them, because we all have stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we get so consumed with ourselves that we don't think about other people's stuff. Why did that person react to me that way or not react at all? It's because they're dealing with their own stuff. So in order for me to live a full, rich life, I have to be aware of that. And I have to be aware that we're all just trying to make it through this minute, through this day, by any means necessary. So if I can lead with grace and leave with love, that will keep me being a full, have me living a full life and living a rich life.
Oh, I liked how you said leave with grace, leave with love. That was good. That was good.
Because really, listen, I need it. So I know the next person needs it as well.
Thank you so much. Oh man, I feel like so good.
This was fun.
Thank you. So please tell us and my audience, where can we find you?
So I am all over the place. I have, I'm on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter, Elise Roberts on Twitter, ElisseRoberts. Twitter, you'll get some new stuff from me. And a few little quirks here and there. I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com/Elise.Roberts is my Facebook page, Elise.Roberts. And there you'll get like video, behind the scenes stuff of me at work, current events, what I think about those current events, and I will interact with people the most there. And then on Instagram, I am Elise Roberts TV. And my Insta stories are my jam. I don't post that much to my feed, but I'm on Insta stories every day. And while I don't interact with people there much, there's a lot of quotes and funny stuff and just all kinds of rant fashion and more behind the scenes stuff at work. So yeah, three different platforms, three different, I like to think it's a little infotainment. That's what I try to provide. So you'll get some information. If you hadn't watched the news today, you'll get the five big stories of the day so you don't sound crazy in a conversation. And then you'll get a little laugh, and then you'll get your spirit filled at some point.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah, you can follow me there.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out. I really appreciate it. And I loved talking with you. So thank you so much. God bless you, girl.
You are very easy to talk to.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I just can't wait to hear more from you.
Okay. Thank you, Alicia. Let's stay in touch.
Yes, ma'am. Will do.
So here are a few takeaways from this week's episode with Elise. One, don't limit yourself. Two, be careful of who you follow. Three, always read. Four, to make sure that you pray or meditate daily. Five, do something every day to make sure that you reevaluate your circle and also pay attention to the people around you. Six, be your authentic self. And seven, lead with grace, leave with love. I hope that you all enjoyed this episode and the conversation that I had with Elise. If you loved anything about the episode, please make sure that you screenshot it and share it with your friends, your family, and even on every social media platform. If you like any of the guests that I have had on the show, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast, and then that way you could be notified of every time we upload a new podcast. Last but never least, make sure that you leave us a 5-star review and also write a review so that other listeners can know how A Rich Life has impacted not only your life, but for the people around you. Thank you so much for listening, and here is a song from yours truly. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
I know you hear me calling. I know you hear my cry. I know you see me weeping. Oh, Lord. I know you see me moaning. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, will you? Lord, I know you feel my pain.